All right, I want to ask people, because I came out throwing about 106 miles an hour this morning. I said that there is certainly people. We got Ian Eagle joining us at 9:20, so you got to get in. 216-474-0092. Should we be harder on Darius Garland? Should we be ripping them? Where are the Cavs at right now? I think they're the second best team in the NBA. I think the Celtics are better, obviously. But I think that last night was a good showing. Some people are calling us losers for thinking that. Because they're a bunch of pros, and apparently we should try to run them out of town after every loss. And I came out and I said, and I do believe this, I think the vast majority of people who are ripping Darius Garland this morning, yeah, and 3 for 21 is terrible, but I do believe that the ones that are saying this is why you needed to trade him, I think that you watched last year in the NBA playoffs, I think that you heard about the first 15 games of the season, and I think you decided to tune in for this one. You did not watch the first 15 games. You tuned in for this one. Darius Garland was bad yesterday. He was bad. And then I think that you felt that he needed to be traded because you went right back to what you thought before. You know, if I think something and I don't see it for a while, it's human nature to think it again. So I don't think I'm off base with anybody. Unless you are just a bipolar sports fan, then, hey, you know what? You're held less accountable than I am. I can't sit there and 48 hours ago talk about how great the Cavs were and then wake up today. Like, if the Browns win tomorrow, like, there will be conversations to be had about the future. Like, again, never did I say. I said, if Kevin Stefanski gets fired, this is what I would do. If you're thinking about firing him, this is what you should do. I don't trust after they win tomorrow, if they win tomorrow, I don't trust Andrew Berry to make future draft picks still. Sorry.
I'm just trying to think what the
equivalent... I'm worried about that.
What the equivalent of what we're talking about here is.
Well, it's equivalent.
Because there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it in sports where a team could be 15-0. The talk of the league. I told you that big profile came out yesterday about Darius Garland in Yahoo. It was terrific. I advise people. I'll tweet it out at some point. Has all the great numbers about why he's having an incredible, incredible season. You could be 15-0, have literally one bad game, and everybody wants to trade him. If the Browns were 10-0 with whatever quarterback and had one bad game against the Chiefs,
yeah,
nobody would be talking about trading him.
And I am a victim of this.
Why is this? What is it about the NBA? You wouldn't do this in baseball ever.
No.
Wouldn't be like, Kwan was 0-for-4 and struck out 4 times. Like, you wouldn't do that.
The NBA...
Why is it that we're doing this with Garland today?
Honestly, it's become such a personal league. It's all rings. That's all it is. And because I think that the NBA, even more so than the other sports, is so prone to, I guess I would say, hot takery, which is a terrible term to use, but I can't find a better one. Because the NBA in its fandom leads so much to hot takery. Like, no guy just gets better as time goes on, or, hey, gradually has a decline. He's either the great... Dalton Knecht is the greatest player who's ever lived after last night. And tomorrow night, he will be terrible, and LeBron will be an idiot forever wanting him to play for the LA Lakers. That's how it works. Fair or not. And I'll tell you what, I did want people to make a big deal about this basketball game, so maybe part of it's my fault. Fair. I wanted people to make a big deal about this. I want games to look forward to, because it sucks to just sit there and go, well, it's November 19th, and there's... 60-some-odd games left. I don't want to do that. I mean, 15-1 is a hell of a way to start a season. But out on an 82-game schedule, and the NBA doing everything it can up until the NBA Cup to minimize the regular season, and then even with the NBA Cup, to minimize the regular season for the fans. The fans don't get anything out of it. They do not care whether or not players make $500,000. So I'm trying to find a way for people to care. And Darius Garland, of course, of all people, who's having a tremendous season to start things off, goes 3-21. So you guess what happens? I defend Darius Garland today, and then I hope and pray, because they ain't going to trade him at this juncture. That conversation is a non-starter. I hope and pray that in the postseason he shows up, because if he doesn't, I'm going to be ducking people. Coming up in the summer. Guaranteed.
Funny thing is, his trade value had never been lower than after last year.
May never be higher now.
So they couldn't get a suitor for him. Now, I think the Cavs could really wheel and deal. They're obviously not going to.
Well, someone is going to clip that, and you're going to look like hell.
But it's true. It is true. Now, his trade value is as high as it's ever been because he's playing the best basketball of his career. He's been a joy. I've used the term joy every day talking about Darius Garland because he has been phenomenal. And he hasn't been a ball hog, and he hasn't been one of these players like Trae Young that's always farming for calls. Like, he's just doing it, being a great shooter, and being very, very...
Yes.
In the flow of the offense.
Yes.
He's been unselfish. And last night, you know, he kept putting them up, and I actually supported it. And I said at the start of the show, you could tell Atkinson, Donovan Mitchell, they told him, keep shooting.
But we're going to be told we're making excuses for him.
Well, he had a bad game.
And that's annoying. He had a bad game.
Yeah, he knows that. Everybody knows that. Atkinson, now, if anything, Atkinson did kind of make an excuse. I asked if it was an excuse or a justification. But earlier in about last night, Atkinson said, you know, it's been the workload. And the workload has been substantial. If you think about all the games that they have played, certainly in a compact period of time, you know, he hit on it yesterday.
I think he did. 216-474-0092. Let me get to Nick and Stowe. You're first up on the Fan.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Nick.
I agree with a lot of what you said about Garland. I love watching him play this season. Yeah, he had a bad night last night. And the on the defensive side, that really kind of hurt us. Just they kept switching onto him and then attacking the basket, and his size kind of really put him in a bad spot. I wanted to run something by you. I understand, and especially with a first time with not a first time head coach, but you know, first year head coach. You know, you got to put faith in your players. You got to show them that you believe in them and stuff. But do you think there was a point where, you know, and I commend Garland for sticking with, you know, shooting and stuff, even though he wasn't hitting stuff, just trying to get something to go. But should Atkinson have put Garland back on the bench at some point in the fourth?
I think this is a tremendous question.
That worked in the third.
This is a tremendous question. And this is what separates, Nick, thank you for asking this, and thank you very much for the call. I think this is what separates, and maybe, Lima, you disagree, this is what separates the regular season from the postseason. In a postseason game where it's win or go home, you would definitely go, sit down, it's been a bad night, we need somebody else. You would certainly consider it. In the regular season, when confidence has been his issue, like J.R. Smith never had a confidence issue. J.R. Smith has been cocky and arrogant and fun-loving since the moment we ever heard of the guy. So you didn't have to worry about him getting down on himself. Darius, you worry about him getting down on himself. Okay, well, it's November 19th. You know what, buddy? Keep shooting. We lost by three. Because if I'm Kenny Atkinson, I go, hey, it didn't fall for you tonight. If you hit two more of those threes, we win. Okay, we lost. It was a regular season game. If I say that to you, Kenny, in May, it sounds terrible. Kenny, it's like, if you hit two more of those three. But it's November. Okay, you're not going to go 3-for-21 in the future. If you hit two more of those threes, we win. No big deal.
The last thing you would ever do is, hey, we've got this guy. We're all talking him up. He's been an all-star. He's playing all-NBA level, the best of his career. Had battled confidence issues in the past. Had all those things last year that were causing him both the physical and mental issues that he had been playing from in his year from hell. And then he has this incredible, incredible start to the season. Then, one bad shooting night, and we bench him. Because it's the Boston Celtics.
Well, he was just asking, yeah.
No, you would just never do that. You would never do that. And as far as the playoffs go, like last year, I think he was playing at such a level that I raised the question last year, do you bench him? The problem is they didn't have a Ty Jerome last year. They had Craig Porter Jr., mm-hmm. He was no answer at that stage, you know, in the playoffs.
And I can't just willy-nilly, like, you have to coach,
too,
you have to coach to confidence. I can't just willy-nilly take, and it's not willy-nilly because he was 3-for-21, okay? But I can't, it becomes that way because if I just take you out and put somebody else in, and then what? Am I going to rip them out and put somebody else in? Like, I know we watch movies like Remember the Titans and think that's how it's done. That's not how it's done. I got to find a way to do it. And I would say, hey, I still need you to do this, that, and the other, but you need to be able to figure this out. I can do that in a big game where it matters for all. But in the regular season, I am ramping up to someone. I need it to be confident throughout and teach to the confidence instead of for the fear of reprisal by the coach.
Well, if they had Karras last night, he might have actually spent a little more time on the bench.
Great point.
He benched Jared Allen at the end last night and put George Niang in because he said it in the postgame, he needed the shooting. Like, when you're down.
But Jared understands that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, But at the same, like, when you're 3 for 21, like Darius, if Caris LeVert's there, he's probably not 3 for 21. He's 3 for 16, and then
I mean, LeVert,
you move on.
LeVert's having a career year too. I mean, they've had so much. That's why I'm not gonna let last night discourage me, especially when I think every other team in the league, if they're down 20 points and Boston is shooting that well behind the arc, like, they're running teams out of the gym playing like that, and they didn't last night.
Mike and Chesterland, 30 seconds, go.
All right, I just want to say I'm not worried at all. Darius has been the top three point guard in the league throughout the first 15 games of the season, so I'm not worried, and I'm excited for tonight to get right back to it, get another game under their belt, and I hope Darius just goes off, you know, 50% shooting, 25 points. I'm not worried at all. Boston runs teams out of the gym. We came back. We almost beat them. We're fine. Thanks, guys.
Unless he has, Mike, I agree with you. The only thing, unless he has like a scheduled night off, which obviously would be there.
Especially considering the competition tonight, I wonder what the lineup is going to look like. Who's going to be active tonight?
But if he's playing, I say go on out there and shoot the lights out. Cavaliers 15-1, still hotter than hell. Browns 2-8. Still cold as ice. Man who knows both about both these teams. CBS Sports, Westwood 1. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Eagle joins us this morning. Ian, good morning to you.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
We're doing okay. And the Cavs lost last night, but I thought they played well. Did you see any of that, or were you working?
I did have a game. It doesn't mean that I don't pay attention to what's going on. But, yeah, I had Nets and Hornets last night in big NBA Cup action.
What do you think of that NBA Cup?
I love the floors. They're so different and unique. And they pop. Is that good? Is that a good quote for you?
Well, Boston's was a little disorienting last night. You expect to see parquet in Boston.
Axel walked in the living room. He took a shower. He got down after wrestling. He comes downstairs and goes, "What is this?" I'm like, "Oh, that's the NBA
Soylent Green."
I had Knicks Nets NBA Cup on Friday night at Madison Square Garden. I've obviously been to Madison Square Garden many, many times in my life growing up in New York. And you walk out, and the court is a very bright orange, and I have no idea why, but I had this sudden urge to down a Sunny D. I just wanted to crush one of those drinks that were very popular in 1983. It definitely has a way of making you look twice. If you're watching highlights or if you're at the arena, you can't take your eyes off it. It's like an eclipse.
We can have different definitions of contender for whatever it is, but I mean, the Cavs are 15-1. They did just lose to Boston last night. Do you consider the Cavs contenders overall?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Very much so. Love their team. Love their coach. Obviously knew Kenny very well with the Nets and thought he did a fantastic job. And I think the question with Kenny, there was never any doubt about his ability to develop talent. That's what he's known for. That's what he's been doing throughout his career. He was in Europe doing it, came to the NBA, and then broke in via that role. The questions with Kenny were always based on in-game coaching, which he has already proven that he is right up there with anybody else in this league in terms of strategy. And then style, if his style, because he works these guys hard, and that should be a positive. What we're seeing now, it's being applauded for the way he approaches things. I do think he's adjusted, too. I think he learned a lot from not only his time with the Nets, but then going to the Clippers and going to the Warriors and seeing how Steve Kerr handles star players. That's a big part of coaching evolution and being able to understand that dynamic and when to push and when to not. And I just think he's done fantastic work. But yeah, the answer to your question, legitimate contenders. Love the chemistry on that team.
When there is a team like the Celtics, which I think have as close to a perfect roster in this apron era as you could have, it seems like at times everybody, at least in the East, is playing for second, but yet the Cavs had every reason to get totally demolished the way the Celtics were shooting last night. So I should feel better, right, that they hung in that game despite Darius Garland's all-time bad night.
Very much so. I think you want to look for whether or not a team is competitive in those situations, because you laid it out. everything would tell you that that could just be a rough night, that you put in a different section as you assess the team. But they, time and time again, even in certain games I've watched this season where you thought, all right, they're done, this streak is over, they're down six, you're in the four. No, they always find a way. They always continue to fight. That means, to me at least, that the team has responded to the coaching. There's a buy-in. There's a collaborative nature. This group seems to have it. And you're right. Garland didn't have the night you were looking for. But overall this season, I think it's been the bounce back that most were looking for. Everyone wants to know, is that pairing the one that you can stick with, him and Donovan Mitchell, for an extended period of time? Most teams seek out that kind of backcourt, but we know, and you guys, I'm sure, dealt with it a lot more than the rumors that I heard. We just didn't know if that was going to work and if there were issues behind the scenes. Nobody is talking about that anymore because they're proving it on the court night in, night out.
Ian Eagle joining us, CBS Sports Westwood One. I'll be on the call tomorrow on Westwood One for Browns Steelers. Okay, to the Browns, like I didn't think they would finish 11-6 this year. I didn't think they'd be starting the season 2-8. How surprised are you that they're off to this? It's the season now. It's not a rough start. How surprised are you about this rough season?
My first surprise, to be honest, in my preparation, because you sit down and you go with bare bones. My first surprise was it's now called Huntington Bank Field. I did not know that. So that's a big deal when you're a sportscaster and you have to say the name of the stadium. And it brought back a memory of mine many years ago doing a game for CBS in Oakland, and we're getting ready to do the game. It's like a half hour before the game, and someone from the Raiders walks in with a sheet of paper and hands it to us. And, you know, you end up getting things like that. It could be an inactive list. It could be some event they're doing at the stadium that they want to let you know about. And the sheet says that from here on out, our stadium will be known as this. I can't remember if it was McAfee Stadium or Overstock.com Stadium or O.com Stadium. It was one of those iterations where I thought to myself, really? This just happened? We're doing this 30 minutes before the game starts? So, you know, that's the first adjustment from a sportscasting standpoint. You want to make sure you say the right name of the venue. How surprised am I? I think something that you guys have learned about the NFL is every August you have optimism. You look at the best possibilities that could happen for a team. And the themes with the Browns were, okay, Deshaun Watson, another year under his belt, working with Stefanski. He saw what worked with Joe Flacco last year. He can put that into play. Nick Chubb eventually is going to get back. Defensively, saw enough good things last year under Jim Schwartz that there's going to be a carryover. These were all check marks, positive check marks going into the season. And then in the NFL, as you know, if it doesn't go that way and you start to really fall into the abyss, there's no other sport that makes you feel worse about things, because in the other sports, you can just disconnect. If you have a bad baseball team, I feel like you can separate yourself from the rest of Major League Baseball because you're not getting inundated day to day with that kind of information. You just separate yourself and find something else to do. NBA, same deal. Hockey, same deal. NFL, you can't do it. If your team isn't good, you're still in the muck. You can't get out of it. It's everywhere. It's every day. It's every week. And it dominates the sports landscape. So it makes you feel worse about your situation because you don't feel like you're part of it. And I think that's what Browns fans are feeling right now.
What is... You get to talk to people all around the league. What is the sentiment about Kevin Stefanski? Because some fans here are sick and tired of us saying two-time coach of the year. Yep. Fans don't want to hear that right now when the team has this record.
Yeah, it's always interesting in these situations because if a head coach were to be let go, what's the first question that you have? Would he get hired somewhere else? does he have a good enough resume that he would be given a second chance in another place? And I think in the case of Kevin Stefanski, the answer is yes. He has done enough. He has shown the rest of the league that you can win with him as a head coach, with him as a decision maker. So that doesn't answer all of the questions of local fans, because some fans don't care, quite frankly. They just want to move on. They want someone new. They want a new voice. They want someone else to look at. I think what's really happened in sports in general, but certainly in the NFL, head coaches have become the lead spokespeople for their teams. You see them three times a week. You don't really hear from the GM. You don't hear from the owner. If there's ever an issue on the team, it's basically the head coach's job to articulate what the issue is to the media and then deal with the question. So when it's going well and you have a positive image of your head coach, you're cool with it. But when the team is 2-8 and struggling and the identity is now in question, you often just get blended in with the blame. And I think that's probably been the issue here. I do think if you want to really strip it down, we know what happened here. This is what takes place when you commit that much money and those many years and the guaranteed years, which they did with Watson. And I'm not sure Kevin Stefanski had a whole lot of choices. This is how it is. Make this work. Take this square peg and force it into the round hole. And we don't want to hear about any of the other options, because that's what this team needs to do in order to try to justify the moves that were made. That's pretty obvious to me. I would assume it's pretty obvious to Browns fans as well.
Ian Eagle joining us on the show. On the other side, I think the identity of the Steelers has never been clearer. They pull everybody down in the gutter. I think they challenge everyone as men. Yep. And here they are 8-2, and you look at their quarterback play, it's like, how? Especially in a quarterback league, but here they are again.
Yeah, I've had them quite a bit this year. I've had them quite a bit over the years, so I've seen basically every version of them under Mike Tomlin, prior to that under Bill Cowher. And you're right. There is a certain way in which they teach the game. There's a certain way in which they play the game. Yeah, I don't want to make it sound simplistic, like it's plug and play. You get a guy, you put him in your system, and then he does what the guy before him did. That's the goal in football. More than any other sport, that's the goal, because you're going 11-on-11. You need everybody to be on the same page. And the hope is that you find the right people to do the things that you like to do. In the case of Pittsburgh, the constant has been the head coach, from Noel to Cowher to Tomlin. And the three of them had very strong opinions and strong identities in how they want to do things. And it has rubbed off on their team. What I can tell you in regards to Mike Tomlin, look, you can't just take the production meetings and say, oh, I've got all the opinions I'll ever need because we spent 17 minutes with the head coach. But there is insight that you gain in the way in which he communicates, in the way in which he connects with people, in the way in which he looks you in the eye when he makes his point. It's mesmerizing. The guy has a command of the English language and a way in which to get his point across, and you could see how players would respond to him. You know, not talking about the game plan, not talking about strategy, which is a whole other category that I think Tomlin is excellent at. He just has a really good feel for what his team needs and when they need it. Even going back, I'm sure it popped up on your show, the switch from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson. And I don't know what the reaction was. It was probably 70-30 against it. If you polled NFL fans, hey, what are you messing with? A good thing. It's working. The team's responding to Fields. And Tomlin stands up there in his press conference and says, nope, this is what's going on, and we're going to be better off for it. And he was right again and again and again.
Yeah, we love hearing that here. Ian Eagle, join us on the hotline. I consider you an industry insider when it comes to TV, radio, and the media. So this is out of the blue. Yeah, this is out of the blue, so I can confidently ask you this question. What did you think about the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul extravaganza on Friday night?
Oh, what did I think? I didn't watch any because I had my own stuff going on. I believe I had a game that night and then was traveling early the next day to get to my next assignment. So I didn't see any. I do know that Antonio Brown got 6.3 million viewers on his feed, which to me was quite telling about where we are in society in general, that someone's feed goes down and they think, you know what? Let me go to Antonio Brown's account. I think maybe then I'll be able to watch what it is I want to watch. Look, the obvious thing, as we know, on any of these things, the most fundamental, the most rudimentary aspect, you have to be able to see it before you even get into the analysis of the production, into the analysis of the way they want to present the event. It's gotta actually air. So I think we all understand that's the first step to making sure that the people are happy.
And then you'll get to see Beyonce hopefully perform on Christmas Day when Netflix has those football games, and hopefully there will be no streaming issues.
I look forward to it.
No, that would be the other game. That would be in Houston.
Oh, that's the one that's on network TV?
No, that one is the second of the two games on Netflix. I am scheduled to work the first of those two games. So I'm scheduled to do Kansas City at Pittsburgh. I believe we have Houdini performing at halftime.
But,
I haven't heard.
I didn't even know you were on Netflix on Christmas Day. I apologize. I should have known that.
Oh, it's not a problem. Oh. There's no handbook on this.
Well, I'm not tuning in for Andy Reid or the Steelers. I'm tuning in for you. That's a true story. True story.
Thanks. That's one streamer I can count on.
Well, my family's going to be over. I'm like, I know him. I know that guy. He's a good man. Swear to God. They get impressed. They are impressed by it. I swear to you.
Well, just pause the stream, and then if you can, put yourself right next to me on the stand-up in front of your TV and just send me the picture. Just to let me know that we're spending the holidays together.
He thinks I won't, but I'll have enough Bush Light, and I'll remember, and I will.
I just love that I know Ian Eagle is a lurker of Antonio Brown's Twitter account. That's a game changer.
How could you not? That feed is completely insane and very, very entertaining. So I like to participate in things that are entertaining.
Ian, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy your time here, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Always great to talk to you. Sorry it wasn't under better circumstances. And not sure if we're going to do it again because I'm not sure I'm going to get a Browns game on TV the rest of the way. But always nice to be with you.
Well, thank you very much. Ian Eagle, we appreciate his time.
He's acting like they died. Like we have a dead football
team. Well, I mean,
it's been a death in the family.
It's time for a Browns funeral.
I'm sorry we had to get together under these circumstances.
It's like, you ain't going to do any Cavs games on TNT, or you never going to be here again?
At least you guys dressed up for the occasion. It's nice. You look good.
Which Fast and the Furious is it? He's in the one car and we're in the other, and that's how this is going to end right here.
All right, guys. Always great to talk to you. Sorry it wasn't under better circumstances. And I'm not sure if we're going to do it again because I'm not sure I'm going to get a Browns game on TV the rest of the way. But always nice to be with you.
Well, thank you very much. Ian Eagle, we appreciate his time.
He's acting like they died. Like we have a dead football
team.
Well,
I mean, oh my God! It sounds even worse.
It's third.
It sounds even worse with the Undertaker's music underneath it.
And don't forget, we'll have the pregame show over at Fairview Tavern.
Fairview Tavern, you gotta be there.
We got 5 minutes. Can somebody find on Angel's Wings or on Eagle's Wings on Eagle's Wings and put it underneath what he just did? Oh my gosh. Oh, that was depressing.
We don't have time. We got to do Mitch, please.
Two football questions. We're like, let's get off football. Let's talk about the
MMA
fight you didn't watch.
Oh, yeah, boxing that no one can see. Oh, now people are saying that
on a network that he's also doing business.
Yeah,
with.
I did no prep work to realize that ahead of time.
By the way, Butterbean, who couldn't even walk 2 years ago, did you see that? Like the DDP yoga, he got on the DDP yoga.
Yeah, got to get on that.
He DDP could not.
What is it about this damn yoga?
I don't know, but he transforms lives. Butterbean could not walk like 2 years ago and is now like jogging and running around and enjoying life again.
His name to String Bean.
And of course, people are like, "Hey, you should fight Jake Paul."
Why can't we get Diamond Dallas Page in the cabinet? Why can't we get him? He's really fixing lives.
Something about him. I mean, he is.
Well, the president's challenge will certainly change.
What's RFK on? What's
teaching
on?
Second graders how to do a diamond cutter.
He's on red meat.
Have you seen him without his shirt on?
Yeah, he's in great
shape. The poster's on my wall.
Who's the woman who was the wife in Curb? People are giving her hell for being married to him.
Cheryl Hines.
Cheryl Hines.
Yeah.
I mean, she could do far worse. He is.
He's ripped.
He's a good-looking man. Let's be honest here. Good-looking man.
That's what I want to know. I want to know what he's on because that's what I want to look like. It's a little cartoonish.
It's not the gas.
I don't think my wife wants me to look that ripped.
Why not?
Do wives want their husbands to look that ripped?
Why not?
Unnatural.
It's time for Mitch, please.
Keith, let's get Keith's wife on the phone.
Keith
is
getting to an age
where... taking us back to the well of Coach Prime. Deion Sanders rebuffed any talks of him looking at upcoming NFL head coaching jobs at his press conference Tuesday. Says he's doing well and good in Boulder.
You going to talk about me going somewhere with my AD in there?
The mentions of
it. Yeah, they mentioned us with a lot of other stuff before we start winning too, didn't they? That wasn't fair, was it? Like, I'm happy where I am, man. I'm good. I got a kickstand down. You know what a kickstand is? A lot of people don't in there and not of age don't know what a kickstand is. That means I'm resting. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm enthusiastic about where I am. I love it here. I truly do.
When I grew up, me and the boys called a kickstand something different.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. I know exactly what you're getting at. Where is he going to be next year? Where is Deion going to be next
year? I think he might be at Colorado.
Wow.
Hey, I think he's got this thing because he ain't no dummy. Anytime anybody doubts him, we've been made look like a fool. I was to look like a fool. I thought this year they would lose one game, then two games, and then the season would come off the rails. Well, they've lost two games, and they've been fine. I really thought that was going to happen with him. Anytime you doubt him, you look terrible. But, you know, he ain't no dummy. He knows how Jerry Jones operates. He knows there's a difference between how the players are treated and how the coach is treated. And he may get power when it starts. Is he going to know? He knows if he's going to keep that power or not.
Oh, it'd be such a fun story,
though. And the Joneses is getting in.
I know everybody's sick and tired of Cowboy and Cowboy talk all the time, 24/7. And obviously, if Deion goes there, now you're joining two iconic brands. I mean, Deion Sanders, one of the most famous football players in my life, right? In our lifetimes.
One of my favorite football players of all time.
Yes, and then he hung around.
He's honestly up there with Bernie. I love Deion Sanders.
And he stayed in the public eye for all those years, and now he's a coach. He's been famous all these years. I want it to happen. I do. Because obviously the chaos that would ensue.
Yes.
Do I think it would work? Probably not. But it would be amazing. And what if they drafted his son? I mean, come on. How incredible of a story would that be? Obviously combustible, but it would be amazing.
Well, you know where my mind's at right now. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Let's go.
Well, it depends on what happens tomorrow night. If they go out there and they get rolled tomorrow night, who knows what I'll say on Friday morning? Who knows? We might play that audio to death. Not the Browns funeral thing with Ian Eagle, but, well, you know what we might. But, you know, if Deion's going to consider one NFL job... I'm an emotional boy. Who knows what I'm saying when I'm emotional? God, I hope I don't have to. Oh, well.